Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our topic is We the People and Engaging the Culture. The Founding Fathers encouraged We the People to play an active role in our government. But today, argue some critics, we're in a mess in modern America, in part because too many Christians have just stood on the sidelines. Dr. Jim Garlow is the author of such books as Well-Versed and Reversed, which are books that provide a biblical perspective on a number of key issues that impact us politically. Reversed opens up with a quote from Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who said, quote, "The dividing line in America is no longer between right and left. It's between normal or crazy," end quote. Jim Garlow joins us now. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Dr. Garlow, I've got to tell you something. I thought it was phenomenal what you said at the Dr. James Dobson Memorial Service in Colorado about a month ago. It was phenomenal. You gave the eulogy, and you did really a tremendous job. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. It was a tremendous honor to be involved in honoring him, one of the greatest figures of in modern times.
Absolutely. And Dr. Dobson, of course, was very passionate about Christians getting involved in issues, and obviously abortion, for example, that and the family and the attacks against the family and so forth. But go ahead and tell us about this book, Reversed, and its earlier predecessor, which is called Well-Versed. What's the overall issue?
Yeah, it was a number of years ago. I was with our friend, George Barna. You would know him well as well. And he pointed out to me, the first part of the statistic is good, and the last part is very bad. He pointed out to me in his research at that time, 90% of pastors agreed the Bible speaks to the cultural, social, political issues of the day. But when they were asked, will you speak out on what the Bible says about the social, cultural, and political issues of the day, 90% of the pastors said, no, we will not. A year later, he did an analysis of the person in the pew. And they said, we don't speak out on the issues. That's what the survey indicated. And when asked why, I thought they would say it's because we're afraid. We're afraid of being called homophobe, Islamophobe, xenophobe, transphobe, some phobe. That's what I thought they would say. But the survey didn't bear that out. It said, we don't speak out on the issues because we don't know what to say. When I heard that, something exploded in my heart. I said, they need to know what to say. So that's what prompted me to, all the way back in 2016, to write the book Well-Versed. That's the biblical foundations of the thorny issues we deal with today. And it laid out the political or biblical foundations, rather, to about 30 political topics. Well, years passed, and 2024 came, and we got hit with an avalanche of stuff from 2020 to 2024. That was a 4 years we'll never forget. And so I wrote part two, which is Reversed, from culturally woke to biblically awake, and it lays out the biblical foundations to nearly 60 political topics. That every single thing we hear on the news every night, that's what we try to cover in that book.
All right, well, let's go through a few of these. Okay, let's begin with DEI. What does that mean, and what is your perspective on it as far as the Bible?
Well, DEI at its face should look good. If it's not okay, diversity, we welcome diversity because God created diversity. We understand that. Inclusion, that sounds good. We want to include people as opposed to exclude people. That makes sense, or so it does. The equity line, the equity word really gets very fascinating because that's identical outcomes. So if Johnny studies hard for an exam and gets an A, and Billy doesn't study and gets a D, equal outcomes would mean they both get the same grade. Well, we don't believe in that. Nobody believes in that. Nobody wants to do that. That's communism. That's socialism. No, we don't want that. But DEI rewards mediocrity by virtue of making decisions based upon things unrelated to the skill set involved. How would you like to know if somebody built a bridge you're going to cross with your car and they were selected because they were a black lesbian? And so for that reason, they got selected to be the one to design the bridge. No, what you want is absolute competence. You don't want people chosen because of color, skin, or some other issue. You want people who are competent, whoever they are, black, white, Asian, Mexican, whatever they are. You want the most competent person you possibly can. This, unfortunately, destroys any kind of competency. And we've seen the devastating impact of DEI, even in our own culture. And the good news is most of the public, it appears to me, realizes how terribly wrong that is.
You said just a couple moments ago, you know, we don't want communism. And yet you and I are recording this in the year of our Lord, 2026, on November 3. I'll give the date. That's a day before New Yorkers go to the poll. And it seems as if New York City is poised to vote in, you know, an out-and-out communist. I mean, a professed communist. Hey, let's have the government own the means of production. I like to, you know, joke that his website should be mondami.commie. But how do we square those two things? I mean, there is an issue there, right?
In New York City, which has been a rather remarkable city, are hundreds, thousands of churches. Let me just play an if game. If every one of those churches was biblical, if every pastor was preaching the truth of God's word from the pulpit, if that preacher was not making application strictly of the scripture only to personal life, not only to family life, not only to congregational life, but to civil government, which the Bible is very clear on, if they were acting like the church is supposed to act, there would be, number one, enough believers in New York City, plus the people that impact that may not be regenerate, but care about Judeo-Christian values. They have a value structure, a vestige of values left in them, to vote for a person who would not be a communist, who would not be an Islamicist, who would not be an anti-Semite. This is a reflection upon the church. I don't say it to aim my weapon at pastors in New York City. Some of them I know and some of them I love. But the fact is, I've been a pastor all my life, and I'm in California. And look how it has gone here. We have to accept that it's the failure of the church to actually be scriptural or biblical, and the pulpits to actually preach biblical truth, thereby impacting the culture in ways of godliness, holiness, righteousness, serenity, peace, tranquility, exactly, and prosperity, what our very communities want and need most.
Well, what do you say when people say, oh, you're just a Christian nationalist?
Well, I ask the question, what is that? First of all, they generally don't know. They just have heard that somewhere, so they can't define it. I'm a Christian, and I do love my nation. Does that make me a Christian nationalist? If I lived in Bolivia, if I met a Bolivian, and I've been there a couple times, spoken there, I want the Bolivians to love their nation. I want the Brazilians to love theirs. I just got it back from Israel. I want the Israelis to love their nation. I'm headed for Armenia in a few days. I want the Armenians to love their nation. So I want them to be, first of all, distinctively Christian, and I want them to love their nation so much they apply Judeo-Christian values from the scripture to every aspect of life. See, you know, some pastors have this view of the Great Commission, go into all the world except politics, go into all the world except government. They like to abandon that area for some strange reason. Well, it's obvious if you abandon an area, who's going to pick it up? The enemy and the evil ones, precisely. So a Christian nationalist is only, I have a chapter in my book, Reversed, on that, and I lay out about seven or eight preceding phrases they would use against people of our ilk. And the whole reason they create these titles, these denigrating titles that they think they're denigrating, at least, is to try to bully and intimidate us from being proactive and involved in the political process. It's not working, by the way, but that's their whole goal. Say, oh, you Christian nationalists, is a way of shutting us up so we don't speak from a scriptural standpoint to cultural and civil issues. And I hope nobody listening to this would. But by the way, that book Reversed is like an encyclopedia. It has all these topics. You don't have to read it from start to finish. It's 500 pages, so it's big. And if they go to reversed.org, the price is like $26. But I drop the price if you buy it by the case and get it to your friends. $6 a book, including postage. If they go to reversed.org and get it to your children, your grandchildren, get it to your pastors, get it to elected officials around you, get your coworkers, your neighbors, to help people think radically, biblically about every one of the social, cultural, and political topics of our day.
All right, let's talk about the border. I mean, we saw what happened in the last 4 years. Then the president, Trump, you know, has come in and he's closed the border. But in the meantime, he's got to deal with all those other people that are still here that, you know, some of whom came in because of the cartels and so forth. But obviously, a lot of Americans are giving pushback to President Trump and his efforts to, you know, deal with the illegals who are here. So I'd like your comments.
Well, first of all, our founding fathers were very wise on this whole issue of immigration, immigrants, who gets in, who doesn't get in. And they gave us an incredible foundation. But let me go back further to the scriptures themselves. Bleeding heart liberals try to make us feel guilty and try to use all kinds of, oh, well, we're supposed to welcome the sojourner. We're supposed to welcome the stranger. Well, that's true. But you got to unpack what those words mean. In the Hebrew, there are essentially three key words. The first one is ger. That's the person who comes in as an immigrant and comes into your country legally, embracing the values of that culture. So one would come in, they would be pro the Judeo-Christian value structure and foundation of this nation. They'd be pro-American. The second category is czar. That's the one who comes in for a temporary, they're really a sojourner. They're here for a while and they're gone, like a student visa or maybe a work visa. And they honor that and they leave the country at their appropriate time. And the car is the third word. The car is somebody who comes in with nefarious intent to change the country, to overthrow the country, in violation of the laws of the country, in violation of the values of that country. So we as believers know how to sort this out. And we clearly welcome legal residents, ger, G-E-R, in the Hebrew language in the Old Testament, who come for the purpose of affirming that for which America was founded and on its principles that it was founded. That kind of a person would be welcome here. And they come legally as opposed to illegally.
But here's President Trump and Tom Homan and so forth, and they're using their ICE agents, and the ICE agents are being compared to Gestapos. And, you know, it's like, wow, it's so shocking.
Well, I wish those people would say that, would go talk to the families of all the people who've had loved ones murdered by those who are in this country illegally. I wish those people who say those kind of things, I don't know why they have locks on their doors and locks on their windows. I don't know why they don't leave the windows open, leave the doors open, let anybody come in anytime without knowing why they're there in their house, say as long as they want, take everything they want. If they're going to be consistent, that's the way they ought to live. If they think they ought to come, let them come to their house. The fact is we have to know who's at the border. Otherwise, we don't have a country. God did not establish a one world government. He established borders. The only one world government I support is what Jesus rules and reigns over the whole earth when that day is coming someday. But in the meantime, he established nations. Nations implies there are actual borders. And a nation has a right to know who's coming into home in the same way that everybody listening has a right to know who is in their own home at a given time. So these people who make these claims are so inconsistent in their personal lives. They ought to open their doors, open their windows, unlock them, let anybody come in without any awareness who's there and take and do anything they want in their home, take anything they want. That way they would at least be consistent in their view of what we ought to do as a nation.
All right. We have literally about 20 seconds left. Wellversedworld.org for more information. How about a closing thought on this whole issue? We the people and engaging the culture.
We have one of the greatest opportunities God has given us, a reprieve in America. It's a reprieve that's not going to last forever. An opportunity to assert biblical values, make them known, be bold. Don't back off of Facebook or social media because somebody challenges you. Be bold, be loving, be tender, keep a smile on your face. Don't get unnecessary arguments. Don't be rude, don't be arrogant, but be bold and articulate the essence of the biblical foundations to governmental life and articulate that to every person you can.
Dr. Jim Garlow, hey, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Good being with you, my brother.